Lake Effect returns on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thousands of people attended a funeral yesterday in Missouri for Michael Brown, the black teenager who was shot and killed by a white police officer in the city of Ferguson. Brown's death has spurred days of protest, both in Ferguson and in places such as Milwaukee, where demonstrators yesterday decried what they contend is systemic police brutality against African Americans around the country. Brown's death has also sparked introspection in communities like Milwaukee as well. Last week, we presented the first part of a roundtable discussion about the meaning and local implications of the events in Ferguson, moderated by WUWM's Latoya Dennis. We pick up the discussion today. Our panelists are Kenneth Harris, Claire Van Fossen, Amante Gray, Keith Stanley, Tracy Johnson, and Angela Walker. Keith Stanley talked about how his experiences at his alma mater in the South adjusted how he views the black community in Milwaukee.
Before I went to Alabama State University in Montgomery, Alabama, I didn't see these beautiful black communities and individuals who had legacy and established standards. So when I went to before I went to Alabama State, I was like, okay, if a whole bunch of black people get together, it's going to be chaos. Literally, I had some own stereotypes in my mind because I grew up in Milwaukee. You go to Afrofest, we running around when I was a high school kid because bullets was flying. And, oh, somebody got shot. Oh, there's a fight. I go down to Alabama State. I see legacy. I mean, folks were their grandparents and great-grandparents went to Alabama State. Then I go to a couple basketball games or football games. I go to the East Coast. I go to Baltimore. I go to Florida A&M. And I see, wow, there are black communities with education, with a legacy, and I emphasize legacy of a standard that they did those things. They have that infrastructure. And I think it is somewhat sad that in the city of Milwaukee, we weren't able to establish such a framework of community, of education, of family. I mean, not to say it's not, we don't have it everywhere, but outside of Milwaukee, that was a major experience for me to see black families, black institutions running things, and they're not all perfect, but it was amazing to see that, and that helped me have more faith in what we can do.
I mean, when you mention legacy, I think of my own family. I come from a family where, you know, we understood our history as a people in this country. That was mandatory in my family. I know who I am because I was taught that from a very early age. I come from a family that, and groups of families, these are people that, you know, pass these things down to their young people right here in this city. I know Brownsville's history. I know the fight that black folk here had to unionize and to get into the industrial trades and things like that and to establish their communities in spite of the hostility they encountered. So, I mean, I understand there's a lot of degradation in our communities, but when I think of growing up here, the one thing, as poor as I was, the one thing that I did have personally, and a lot of other young people had as well, was a sense of self. There is that in this city. I grew up with that. It does still exist, even though we have had such erosion in our communities.
But in order for this to work, everyone needs to be playing by these rules. And that sense of community, when our laws were first established, it wasn't like somebody just came up with a bunch of rules. We created them as a community and our norms and how do we work together. And these communities have their own norms and frameworks within the larger structure. You know, I don't like to envision an island, but I feel like we need to start looking at some of these communities as a little more as their own territory, and they need to kind of say, these are the rules, these are the boundaries that we're going to set and who we're going to take responsibility for. And it takes a community. And, you know, I see a lot of fear. I really love that word empowerment, because if you don't feel like you have control, then you're going to make something up. And what I would love to see is for us to turn that hopelessness and all of that energy expended in doing things that are not even related to fixing the problem of hopelessness, to trying to solve that problem. When you think about all of the energy expended on some of the violence and the rioting, why don't we use that to come together and do something good?
I think that the problem that continues to occur is that I think your solution is wrong and mine is right. Instead, we should be thinking, you have a different solution than mine. So why don't you do yours and I'll do mine? But we don't do that. And it's the same thing with race. Well, you're different from me, so there must be something wrong with you, mm-hmm. instead of looking at yourself. So whenever I have an issue, if I have a problem, or if I don't like somebody, the first person I have to really start with is me. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? Okay, is it me? And why don't I like that person? What is it about them? Right. Sometimes it may be race. Sometimes it may be gender. Sometimes it may be the tie you wear. It may be the way your hair looks. It could be anything. But the point is, we have to look at us first. I can't fix somebody else till I'm fixed.
So it's interesting that you say we're looking at each other saying your solution isn't my solution, so your solution is wrong and we're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Because what I see is a number of groups hitting this from a number of different angles and right. that I might say that some of the problem is that there's not enough unity.
Let me give it more clarity. If education is an issue, what's an issue? Is it third and fourth graders? Is it elementary school? Is it middle school? Is it high school? Or is it college? So your organization, you take college. You take elementary. You take middle school. You take high school. Same problem, different way to fix it. But now I've got four different groups working on education. That's what I mean. I can't use the same thing I use in elementary school and then try to get you in high school.
As an elder. Or elder to be, I'm a grandmother, so does I think that counts for
yeah,
something.
But if you're under a certain age, that
don't still a grandma, so that gives me status.
You know, when we're talking about what's happening in Ferguson, I want people to be clear. There is a time and a place for rebellion, and this is the time and the place for rebellion. Rebellion has its place. These are people that have been pushed, that have, you know, dealt with a police force that has gone among them. And committed abuse after abuse after abuse, and this community has dealt with that over the years. The police have finally, for this community, gone too far. So one of the things, you know, that I want at least to communicate from where I'm sitting is I appreciate rebellion. It has its place. People have the right to, when they are pushed, you are supposed to be angry. You are supposed to get mad. You are supposed to occupy space and move people out of the way and get in the way and do what you have to do to make your point. And there is a place for that.
As long as it's lawful and peaceful. I don't know.
Sometimes you need to go extra legal. Right,
but then you get arrested and then we start that same problem mm-hmm. of
and then
people
it grows.
Going to jail. Well, okay.
My issue I don't know if it's radical, my issue is this. When I look at my community, specifically the Black community, I am so frustrated with the fact that we are in this mode of, I almost call it a battered wife syndrome. Someone's not loving us, and they don't do this to us, and they don't care about us, so we have to go out and march and protest and rally. That was a good playbook strategy in the 50s and 60s. I think that is so far removed from now. I saw somebody who sent out a letter earlier this week, we need to have the police do this, and do this, and we need Chief Flynn to do this, and this. And I'm looking at all the items. I'm like, we're going to increase their budget. We're giving them more money. We want more police to do this. We want more training. The police takes 100% of the city of Milwaukee's property tax levy. They take $300 million goes to the city of Milwaukee Police Department. We take in $300 million. Why is it that when the Black community gets involved, we then point our fingers and say, this is what they need to do? Listen, if I'm going to spend any money, any energy is going to be, especially what you said, Ken, it's going to be fixing my community, fixing my problems. I'm not marching and protesting for nobody else. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to feed my family, how I'm going to get the training and things I need to make my lot in life for my kids. I see no value in running around looting liquor stores, hair shops, cell phone shop. To me, that makes no sense. And despite the fact that they may be upset, and I totally understand that, our elders need to let them, it didn't work. We did this 50 years ago. So why are we doing the same thing? Let's try to figure out something else new. I don't care if it was, hey, we're going to be separatists. Hey, we're going to join the Nation of Islam. I don't care. Hey, we're going to create our own political party. But to sit there and protest and loo and then get shot and get arrested, I ain't doing that. I'm not getting bit by no dog. I ain't getting no water hose on me. I got no. That was my parents did that. My grandparents do. It's a new day. I got too much access to resource, education, opportunity to have somebody going to beat me so I can make them love me. That just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Angela a little bit about the a little bit of rebellion. Sometimes you need it, but I want to make sure we just don't get caught up in a conservative mindset of the behavioralists always saying that Black people, they need to just getting their minds and set it straight that they're going to do better. And we can't always say that from a liberal standpoint, that it's the structural part of it, that the institutions are always systematically racist, even though that's the overwhelming truth of the matter. We got to find some way to like make a hybrid of both point of views and really come to a conclusion of what can be done to get our community back to what it was when it was first coming out of Reconstruction and actually building communities and building families and things like that. I think somebody also touched on the socioeconomic aspect. We can't have the mindset that as black people, we share one of the common things that 98% of the country is going through right now. And that's poverty. That is low wages. That is like a loss of income that's been disproportionately growing since the 1950s and 60s. And that's something that black people share with 99% of the country. So we can galvanize the poor, the people that are disenfranchised economically, and really get them to go into their communities and say and upseat Congress. But I mean, sometimes you got to take a political edge to this. If you look at in Virginia, Eric Cantor, even though he's a Republican, that's not the point I'm making. Their whole community got together and they upseated the House Majority Leader. I mean, that says something to what people can do if they really took a political edge to it. I mean, we can replicate that all across the country. See what they was doing down over in Virginia in his district to upseat him. Somebody that's in major leadership in the country. That's the problem. Poverty is a major issue that we face together. And if we don't galvanize and come together and get rid of the 1% or get rid of the policies that's making it that way, then we can continue doing the same thing that we're doing. We also need to face individually what the black community can do as well to get our own selves up out of the situation. So it's not just a left and a right thing. It's about finding the middle ground and bringing us all up. Because like you said, I only care about my community and what we're doing. Well, most of what our community is going through is what 99% of the country is going through.
I just want to say, once again, I respectfully disagree. I think that is one of the biggest problems that we have in the black community is that we love to kumbaya and let's galvanize and work with other people what they're going through. One thing I will say about some of my white brothers and sisters, when they have a problem, it's their problem. They're going to address it. And I think that when it comes to our community, we have to say, listen, this is my – I don't care who else is in poverty right now. Because frankly, that's how other people react. They don't care that we're in poverty. We wouldn't have Ferguson if that was the case. They wouldn't be rioting. I think black communities say, listen, here's our issues, here are our priorities, and we need to deal with on our terms. I really agree with that because it gets too caught up with fighting. I mean, literally, and I saw this throughout my history here in Milwaukee. As soon as we say we want to do one thing, then we got a group of people. Well, now we need to talk about women's rights, and now we need to talk about gay rights, and now we need to talk about this. And now I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that if you got brothers and sisters that are literally dying on the street, more black men going to be killed in this country than any other group. And we got to talk about gay rights. No, we got to talk. I'm not saying they're not members.
That's not what I was getting at.
I'm just saying that if our goal is to fix the problems that are happening in the black community, let's do that. Now, if you want to, you know, start a push coalition, that's totally different.
What I said was that poverty is one of the main – that's not the only thing that's facing the black community. That's just one of the things. That's a large thing, and that's something that can connect with thousands of millions of people across this commercial –
that's my point.
Across
I don't care
country.
Who – that's my point.
And
I don't care who connects with.
And if we can galvanize and come together as poor folk and say, we're tired of this. We're tired of the establishment. I mean, other people don't realize that as well.
Why is it the establishment's fault that everybody's poor?
How can you say that?
How can you explain it? Explain it to me.
The wealth inequality that's growing in this country. That's going to be my only argument. That's the biggest thing.
Okay.
Or the fact that CEOs make 300 times what their workers make.
Every time we have an issue in a community, we talk about CEOs that make 300. That has nothing to do with what's happening right
here.
It has a lot to do with it.
Okay,
I think you just don't see it because of your own personal experience. I'm glad you got your two bachelors. I'm glad you came up and I'm glad you made it out. But that's not the reality for a lot of people.
I'm well aware of that. My reality is that if I can make it from what I came through, I can help other people do the same thing. And that's what you miss.
I've
been through poverty, living on government cheese, living in an apartment with four people in three rooms. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that I made it. I'm saying if you want to make it, holler. Talk to me because then I can show you how to make it. And then you can show somebody else how to make it.
I can't speak to that as a member, obviously, of the black community, but from a sociological perspective, what we'd call that is black exceptionalism, which means that the person had things in place that helped them to achieve beyond the level that the population as a whole is capable of doing.
And most of my friends did the same thing that came out of it. What I'm saying is I have that. to give to other people. But if you decide to fight and riot and tear up, you're not going to get it.
That's not what the majority of people are doing. You keep bringing up, if you want to act a fool, if you want to tear up and do this and carry on, that's not what majority of people are doing.
So what are the majority of people doing?
So what are they doing?
Majority of people want to do it lawfully. Majority of people want to do it the right way.
They do.
That's what they want to do.
Right.
And sometimes you get frustrated, not saying that it's right, but sometimes you get frustrated being in the state that you're in and you're not seeing no growth at all. If we're talking about what's going on in Ferguson right now, and if we're talking about what's going on in hundreds of black communities around the country, people are just frustrated. They're frustrated by police brutality. They're frustrated by socioeconomic disadvantage.
So what do you do?
It would be nice if the black community can galvanize around raising funds like we would raise our political party and invest in our own community. Yeah. We should take our resources and whatever we have to say, listen, here's our problem. Is it family? Do we need to focus on family? Is it education? Is it our values? I just really believe in empowerment. I don't like the fact, and I think this is the biggest thing that comes from Ferguson to me, is that they do it on both sides. You know, conservatives are saying, hey, you know, the unfortunate death of Michael Brown, look at this video. He's doing this and he was bad and he was that. It doesn't matter. There was something that happened. There's pain and suffering there and we need to address it. Then the other opposite side is that cops are bad and they shooting and killing black folks all across the country. Well, some of us black folks, we act really rough. I mean, you go to a brother and say, can you cut down your music? They about to slap us and beat us. I'm like, man, I ain't trying to start nothing. I got to wake up in the morning. Let's be honest. We got some brothers that are rough. But that's not the point, though. The point is that what do we do for our community and how do we make our community better so we're not in these situations? And I just don't like the fact that we spend this time to point and argue and they're bad, they're not this. Listen, what can I do to better my people?
WUWM's Latoya Dennis moderated our roundtable on the lessons of Ferguson. Our community panel included Kenneth Harris, Claire Van Fossen, Amante Gray, Keith Stanley, Tracy Johnson, and Angela Walker.